This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9 is Thursday, 6th of December, and 6 a.m. in the morning. You're with Julian Ng, and I'm together with Joyce Goh. Joyce, how are you this morning?
Good morning, Julian. Okay. Got enough sleep last night, better than earlier this week when, you know, just rushing through the weekend to start of the week. So you can see that the weekend's coming up. So, you know, nearly there.
I can see the little skip in your gait. So, guess who slept very well last night as well? I think Malaysian football fans, because Malaysia has qualified for the AFF Suzuki Cup final last night, beating the reigning champions Thailand.
I see. Yeah, actually, I think the last time Malaysia made it to the finals, Julian, was in 2014. And they lost 3-4 to the Thais. And I think upcoming in this final, Malaysia will face either Vietnam or the Philippines.
I'm not really a football fan, but I don't follow football. But I was told that the last time Malaysia won in the Suzuki Cup was in 2010. And the government declared a public holiday after that. So one more reason.
Well, I'm a fan of that, public holidays.
One more reason to look for a win. And I also hear that there were some amazing goals in that game.
So, looking forward to the finals, definitely.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, Joyce, what are some of the stories that we have over the next hour?
Well, have you read Michelle Obama's latest book?
No,
because
I haven't. Because
she's currently on tour promoting the book, and she weighs in on whether women can have it all.
So some of the things that she weighs in on, climate change, I guess the... this is not her, but this is some of the other stories that we're covering. The headlines of threat of climate change. The question is whether this is scaremongering or whether there is a way we can motivate people to jump into action.
Yeah, we also, you know, we've also been told a lot that, you know, we have to step out of our comfort zone, Julian, and try new things in order to achieve personal growth. But, you know, there's a study out there that says that maybe that isn't such a good idea after all.
Oh, interesting. And also in the next hour, we're going to ask, not in the next hour, but upcoming soon, we ask the question of how much money would you need to be satisfied? And we'll discuss this after the break. So stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Philadelphia Freedom by Elton John. And you're with Julian Ng, and together with me is Joyce Goh, and we're going to keep you company for the next couple of hours. We're going to talk right now about the ultra-rich, because apparently they're not very satisfied with the billions that they have. According to an article in The Atlantic, Harvard Business School professor Michael Norton said that the reason why the ultra-rich aren't really happy is because they keep asking questions. Am I doing better than I was before? Am I better than other people? So, Joyce, what do you think? Are you satisfied with where you are in life right now and with the amount of wealth that you have?
Well, I guess for me, no. I mean, I think one can do better. I guess when there are just so many things at play here. Here we're talking about millionaires and billionaires. They have so much money already that, you know, that they can ever have. And but what this article is saying is, but at a certain level of wealth, the next million isn't going to suddenly change their lifestyle, right? So what's driving them? As opposed to, I guess, like people like us, you know, I don't know about you, Julian, but I'm no millionaire or billionaire, right? And it's, for me, I guess, at the end of the day, it's how comfortable you are. You feel that, or do you want to strive better? For me, I have to think about the kids, education and all that. So it's about saving enough and having enough. Think about their future as well. So that's the scary part,
it's about,
right? It's the unknown.
Providing a better life for yourself as well as your loved ones. But what's also interesting about this article is that this kind of, let's call it dissatisfaction, doesn't only apply to wealth, right? Because it applies to other things as well, like attractiveness, height, and other things that people fret about.
Yeah.
So this is really the question about not only how much money you have, but at the bottom of it, how happy you are with your life. And that's the million-dollar or billion-dollar question.
Contentment.
Right?
How, is it contentment?
Exactly. What makes you happy and contented?
Yeah, I guess. And also, I guess in this day and world where we tend to compare with the age of social media and all that, you tend to look at other people's lives, look at where they've traveled to and all that. So sometimes people, you tend to want more. In a way.
That's right. And so I always think about, you know, what is the magic number?
What is the magic number?
Because I like thinking about financial things. And in fact, I enjoyed doing Ring It In Sense a lot before. We always ask this question. I think came across articles in the past about the level of income that would make you happy. And in the United States, that break-off point, that cutoff point is about $80,000 a year.
Okay.
A year. So that kind of pay would make people happy. I'm just wondering whether there is a Malaysia version of that. Like, you know, obviously 80,000 is way above the average income of Malaysians. Mm. That's about 300,000 ringgit there about a year. Mm. And results in a, you know, 30 something thousand salary per month, right? Mm-hmm. That doesn't, it's not the kind of average salaries for Malaysians.
Yeah. I guess for me, it's also financial freedom. If one can find financial freedom, then that could be enough.
Having a loan
to pay. Financial freedom would be not having a loan, I mean, a mortgage or a loan to pay monthly.
Okay.
And also have enough to send your kids to a place that has proper education, you know, for even to further your studies, and have enough to live day by day, to go on a break, go on a holiday sometimes.
Yeah.
Just, you know, financial freedom. So you don't have to go to work. You don't have to work to earn a living. I think that would be enough for me. But what about yourself?
Yeah, so I've been doing a lot of thinking about this. And you can say that that's very true what you said about debt, being debt-free. The other point to think about is that if you can spend it in a way that is much less, your personal inflation, your consumption inflation is much less than your return rate, I think that would also make you very rich. Apart from income, you also have to invest your money. So if you automatically put aside something every month and invested that amount of money and you spent less than what you invested, over the long term, you would have accumulated quite a tidy sum of money as well. I think also from the viewpoint of current expenses, right? You've got to think about how you can prepare for that. Let's say your current expenses are 3,000 monthly, 5,000 monthly. There are ways to actually plan for the future based on the current value of what you're spending. So maintain those kinds of inflation. Basically, try to keep your costs low for the future and try to have other ways to think of other ways to make you happy.
Yeah, but what this article says is that for the rich, the super rich, right, it's never enough. So they have all the money in the world, but they still continue chasing the money. I mean, look at Jolo. That's a prime example. The way he spends and the things he buys, you know, so I think this article has a point.
Well, if you have a view on this, do tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. And talking about money, we are also going to look into how you can push yourself out of your comfort zone, maybe to perhaps earn more money. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, Name For You by The Shins. You're with The Morning Run, Joyce Goh and myself, Julian Ng. Joyce, earlier on, we were talking about how the ultra-rich were not really satisfied with the level of wealth. Mm. And this next article is also about comfort zone. So the conventional wisdom is that if you want to grow, then you got to get out of your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. But apparently, new research has shown that you know, this, you could be setting up yourself for psychologically for a collapse if you push yourself too much.
Yeah, so studies are saying that you should aim for something known as the zone of proximal development. So what you're saying is that, you know, the best way to stay motivated is just to work on tasks of just manageable difficulty. So they're saying if you push yourself too much out of the comfort zone, that's not a good idea.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
To a certain extent, I agree, because I think this relates very much to what we were talking about earlier, right? How much money will make you happy. And this is really about how much achievement would make you happy. I am a pretty chill person. So I don't believe in going for it unless it's something I really like doing. For example, you know, working out in the evenings, like running, right? Running in the evenings. You know, we can very easily change our the workout performance from actual performance, right? How far you run, how fast you run, to actually running for happiness. And I think just a modest amount of exercise can actually make you happy, right? The endorphins start flowing in your body and you become happy as a result of that workout. But I do agree that if you're totally unambitious, I don't know, you might end up just losing out in this whole race. And that's the key word, right? This is a race that we're doing, whether
the
that's
rat
good,
race.
The good
whether
or bad
good,
or
bad,
not,
yeah.
we don't know.
So what this article says is that your comfort zone is there for a reason. And, you know, the bottom line is that if you continue to push yourself beyond the bounds of, you know, being comfortable, that isn't heroic or even smart. But then again, on the flip side, as Julian, you mentioned, sometimes, you know, refusing to wander far from a place where you feel comfortable at, it's also not a good thing, because it's going to lead to mediocrity or just, you know, just not doing anything progressive for yourself. But I don't know, where's that balance? So for me, a personal, in my opinion, for me, what I've experienced is because I pushed myself out of my comfort zone from print to radio. And I thought, oh, okay, I'll try something new and learn a new skill or learn a new newsroom.
Yeah.
I did. But I must admit, there are days where I regret. Like, well, not regret, but I do question myself. Ooh, that's a big word. Freudian slip there. No. But there are days where I think, was that a good idea? Like, what did I do? You know, like, you know, because print is something, or in that newsroom that I was in was something I was very familiar in. And then you're starting out in a whole new newsroom again. I came in with eyes open. But then again, it's a new skill. I thought I'll learn a new skill. But in this article, as I read it, I think back about, they're saying that sometimes pushing yourself too hard is not a great idea, because science is saying is that your comfort zone is there for a reason, and it's scientifically proven.
I think it also has a lot to do with how our bodies and our brains are wired, because from the evolutionary viewpoint, it's the survival of the fittest, right? We want to look for the next big danger that's lurking around the corner. So this body, from an evolutionary viewpoint, has taken billions or I don't know the number here, like hundreds of thousands of years to develop. Whereas, you know, we have not really focused psychologically on the idea of happiness. We're just not wired or set up to do that. So,
but you yourself seem to like to push yourself out of the comfort zone for a career. I think you left radio to try something different, to do business.
I you know, this is really interesting, Joyce, because I recently did an interview about the unretired, and basically unretirement is all about having many retirements in your life instead of one big one. And that shifts the happiness and stress levels around and spread it all around throughout your life, rather than just one big bang at the end, right? And I think that that's not so much pushing rather than searching, right? And I guess I've been searching for the right thing that makes me happy. We'd like to hear from you. So if you have anything to say, tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. We'll be back with more stories after the news. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9 is 6:38 a.m. And that was It's Still Rock and Roll to Me by Billy Joel. I'm Julian Ng, and together with me is Joyce Goh. And thanks so much to a few people who are joining us this early in the morning. CK from Melbourne WhatsApp us and says that, "I'm happy when I can feel that I'm growing each day as a person spiritually, physically, emotionally, and financially. We need all these to be happy. Money alone won't help." Wow, very wise words.
Yeah. We also have Ro, who's WhatsApped in, saying that money can set you free as much as it can entrap you. The key is balance. Enough will never be enough until it's enough to live debt-free and love life rather than love life. So you'll never be satisfied chasing, you know, the Joneses.
Excellent. And on comfort zone, Michelle via Twitter, "Once in a while, you need to make yourself alert. And when you're finding nothing motivated at your current position," and Michelle says that she has done this for the past 12 years. So thank you very much for all your messages, and keep them coming in. Tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Now, let's look at climate change, because this is a very serious problem in the world today. And we see a lot of doom and gloom in the headlines, because when it comes to climate change, you see things like, you know, the Greenland ice sheet is melting faster than ever, carbon emissions are at an all-time high, and the Earth is in a death spiral, and we need to take radical action. But, you know, do all these kind of headlines really motivate us to take action?
Yeah, it all sounds like doom and gloom, yeah, Julian? Well, the Financial Times has an article proposing more effective ways to sell climate change action, and they're suggesting talk about green growth. You know, not about saving the planet. You know, don't go save the planet. Just talk about growing with regards to the green industry, and also, you know, find the right messengers, because greens must reach people who currently distrust them. So it must be someone that you trust. Preaching or giving the message on going green.
This reminds me of what we talked about yesterday about the rising veganism requires some change in the English idioms, like don't say bring home the bacon, but bring home the bagel, right?
And don't kill two birds with one stone, but you feed two birds with one scone.
So to continue on with this kind of rebranding about climate change, stop predicting doomsday. The message could be, yes, we can, and without much pain, sacrifice doesn't sell. And when most scenarios are pessimistic, people see little point in acting.
Also, don't say carbon tax, Julian. Say carbon dividends, because, you know, calling carbon pricing a tax isn't, you know, simply a turnoff. It's also misleading. So you're saying that, you know, you should hand the revenues straight to citizens. So say carbon dividends.
So some of the other changes are, you know, talk about today instead of talking about saving whales and grandchildren. This article recommends that Greens should highlight climate disasters today, such as recently, and this is very American, such as California's most destructive wildfires ever, and not potential disasters in 2050, because, you know, people can't feel the future too much.
You can't relate to it as well.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So like cities from Beijing to London, they're curbing air pollution now because the people there today, they don't want to die. So it's true. Talk about today. Don't talk about 2050, 2090. No one can envision that, right?
And some of the other suggestions is also tell a populist anti-elitist stories, help connect the losers to the new economy. You know, we are going through this deindustrialization there are a lot of devastated factory workers and coal miners. Many miners, for example, could be easily, you know, they don't really buy into the environmental story, so you got to engage them. But, you know, there is another article, Joyce, by The Guardian, with the headlines that the world is in a death spiral because of climate change. And this kind of sugarcoating and mincing your words doesn't actually help the Earth.
So what you're saying is that softer aims might be politically realistic, but they are physically unrealistic.
Correct.
Is that what
you're
saying?
Because we have reached the point of no return. And for example, the article highlights that public figures, they talk about environmental change as if it was a linear and gradual solution. But the Earth system is so complex, right? We can't really use linear waves to solve climate problems.
Yeah, but I agree with, I guess this is a pushback that you can't mince your words, but I agree that with this suggestion where you have to talk about today rather than later down the line, because you can't, for me, it's not relatable. For some, yes, you want to save the planet for your kids, you want to save the planet for your grandchildren. But if you're talking about the now, I think it's more real.
But, you know, it's a very difficult problem to solve. For example, like if you're chasing the bus, right? If you want to chase the bus, you've got to run. If you try to sugarcoat it and say, oh, don't worry, I'll just walk. You know, again, another article that we talked about a few days ago, then you might miss the bus. So that's the conundrum. 6:44 in the morning. Up next, we'll be talking about Michelle Obama, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, you're with myself, Julian Ng, and Joyce Goh, and that was Roxette by Dr. Feelgood. There's also a band called Roxette, right? I wonder whether they'll write a song called Dr. Feel Good. Anyway, Michelle Obama is on a book tour, and she's written a book called Becoming, and during an event to promote her book over the weekend, she weighed in on the lean-in concept, and she says that that whole so you can have it all statement, no, you can't have that all the time. That's what she's saying.
Yeah, and it's pretty refreshing to hear it come from someone as big a name as Michelle Obama, because, you know, when Lean In first became popular, that was in 2013. And at that time, Facebook Chief Operating Officer Sheryl Sandberg published this book, Lean In, Women, Work and the Will to Lead. And she argued that women could have it all, family, career, happiness, if they worked hard enough. So you have women all thinking, oh, yes, I can do this, I can do this. And you push yourself hard enough. But actually, reality is sometimes, no, you're going to drop a ball somewhere, or you have something's got to give somewhere, you know? Yeah. So yeah, Michelle Obama coming out, and I see on my social media feed, some of them, they're saying that, wow, finally someone's out there to acknowledge, a bigger name to acknowledge that, yeah, actually we can't have it all.
Yeah. This seems to be our theme this morning, because this is all about just pushing yourself, right? And I guess for the women is a lot more challenging, because as you know, Joyce, you're a mother, and you have to balance so many roles, right? Having a job, having a day job, being a mother. A lot of mothers also cook for the family, clean the house. So it's hard to use that lean-in mantra all the time and expect everything to be okay and not break down at some point.
Yeah, and the practice, this lean-in practice has been criticized actually in the last few years, because it puts more pressure on women. And I think Sheryl Sandberg herself later admitted that leaning in hasn't been as effective as she had hoped for. I think everyone's just wearing different hats. It's like for me, myself, mom, I work. Also, I'm wearing like the wife hat, the daughter hat, the daughter-in-law hat, every other hat. Yourself, I mean, you have the husband hat, you're also working, you have your business. So it's a different, everybody has different roles. And if there's this whole thinking that, oh, no, you can't have it all, sometimes when you don't, then you start questioning what's wrong with me. Or, you know, you try to push yourself harder. And actually, sometimes reality is you can't.
Yeah, and forgive me if this is an offensive question, but do you think that women do get the short end of the stake? Do you think that their efforts are not recognized enough?
Yeah, I think so. I think, yeah, good question. I think that also is a culture. But I must admit that more and more fathers are getting more hands-on. You know, I don't think maybe 20, 30 years down the road, I think ago, I think a lot of moms had a lot more to do, and fathers were less hands-on. But working dads and even dads in general are more hands-on nowadays, and it helps. But yeah, I think when it comes to your question whether women get the shorter end of the stick, yes, I believe so.
Okay, 6:52 in the morning at BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.